We hear of pandemic, health epidemic, and other disease. We hear of crime, poverty, addiction, and other obstacles which can interfere with the ability to live the abundant life that God promised. Physical health is important, but is there a deeper spiritual disease that plagues people and interferes with health on all levels? Find out today on Return to Eden. Hi, everybody. Thank you for joining us on Return to Eden today. We've got extra special guests in-house today. I can't wait to introduce them. He's a lawman of four decades who's worked patrol, criminal investigation, undercover narcotics, as well as chief of police and deputy sheriff. He's taught in multiple police academies and acted as a private instructor in fields of firearms, corporate and personal security, and as a consultant on the police procedure for media. He holds a degree in business from Evangel University and has also been in ministry for four decades, serving as a senior pastor for more than 25 years. Please welcome Bruce Beelen. And she's the operating human resources manager here at Skywatch TV, Defender Publishing, and Whispering Ponies Ranch, operating head administrator of Eden's Essentials, and has held administrative roles within ministry for nearly three decades, professionally for two. Please welcome Charisse Parton.
Thanks, Sally. Good to be here.
Thank you so much for being here today, both of you. I really appreciate that you guys took the time out of your day to be here. And I know that you guys have known each other for a long time. You've been in ministry together for a long time. So I'm excited about having this conversation with both of you. Bruce, I want to start with you. You've been a pastor. And by the way, I have to say real quick, before I move on, I'm going to interrupt myself. When he sent me his bio, it was so long. He had so many impressive accomplishments. Right. It was actually quite hard to compose a bio out of it. One of the things I didn't add to what I said a minute ago, but definitely bears mentioning, is that you've been married for four decades.
Absolutely.
So amidst everything else that
to
you've
a
been
saint.
Doing. And I love...
She's been put in for sainthood.
Well, I love it.
It's in the process.
I love that when I said, hey, send me a list of all the things in your accomplishments that we would add to a bio, right there with everything else was your marriage.
Absolutely.
And I thought that that was incredible, that you included that in your accomplishments that would be honored at the top of the things that you're so proud of. You've been in ministry for four decades, senior pastor for 25 years.
Yes, ma'am.
You've also served in many capacities of police work. And so you have a unique perspective on society. Mm-hmm. You've seen it from the spiritual aspect and from the behavioral aspect.
Right.
So when you're looking at both of these approaches, looking at society and just seeing it from both of these perspectives, do you see common denominators? And I feel like I already know the answer to this question, but I really want you to take the time and really unpack this for us.
Well, and here's what was interesting when I was praying about today and spending some time with the Lord. The name of your show is Return to Eden. And, you know, when I look at the beginning, they had everything they needed. They had that unbroken fellowship with God. And, of course, they did exactly what me and Kim would have done at some point, would make the mistake that they made and follow their own lust, and which... You're talking about unpacking stuff. It unpacked it up for all of us. But the point is, ever since that incident, ever since that happened, people have been trying to get back to Eden.
Mm-hmm.
And those of us who know where Eden is, that's Jesus Christ. And those who don't follow him, that don't have that relationship with him, they are using everything in the world to try to get back to that place they were at in Eden.
Mm-hmm.
And some, I mean, guys, we know that addiction is rampant.
Right.
I mean, and I wish it was just drugs.
Right.
I mean, it's not.
Mm-hmm.
It's drugs. It's alcohol. It's sexual addictions. It just goes on. Gambling. It just goes on and on and on. Food addiction.
Right.
I mean, carbohydrates, you know, whatever.
Right.
I mean, people are trying to fill that void that was left in that tearing and that separation, almost in that divorce that occurred. Of course, we know our groom is preparing a place for us. It's
Amen.
The body of Christ.
That's right.
But the point is that a few years ago, I was being interviewed by some print people, And they asked me, they said, well, what prepared you to go into the ministry? And I go, well, you know, I lived in the parsonage, which will tell you not to do it before long. You're in the parsonage. I was raised in the parsonage, you know. And, of course, my mom and dad are gone to their reward, but they were great teachers. This really took the person back from the newspaper when I told them this. They kind of got a funny look. It's a good thing we weren't on camera. But anyway, I said, well, undercover narcotics.
Mm.
And they go, what? And I said, yes. Those times of living as someone else and seeing the death wow. of the wages of sin.
Yeah.
If you can't preach after that, you don't have a preacher in you.
Right. Wow. Right.
Especially the last 30 years plus, those roles as not just as pastor, but just as believer. And whatever my role was at that point, from chief to Indian, you know, whatever, wherever I was at on that, Christ has been the center of that. And don't get me wrong, I don't wear belt buckles and t-shirts and pins, and there's nothing wrong with any of those. And we're selling them, I'm just kidding. But what happens is that out of the abundance of your heart,
right.
it overflows. Mm-hmm. And ministry overflows, and whether ever how that looks in different situations. But yeah, that's, to me, that's the core problem of crime. Because when you see revivals in prison, you see violence go down. When you see revivals in school, and it doesn't have to look like whatever you think revival means. It means that reintroduction
right.
of Christ into that element.
I did forget to mention, too, that you are Johnny in our Johnny Was a Criminal song
right.
with
the
Joe.
The last time I was
good.
In right. this room on camera, that's what we were talking about, yeah.
Yeah, so we were talking, I guess it was a couple weeks ago, or I can't really remember exactly when, but recently, and you said something like, the last time I walked around this side of the building, I threw a beer bottle
yeah.
at it.
Yeah, exactly.
About that.
Except for that video.
For the film. Yeah, I don't litter.
I cleaned it up. So when you have done ministry together, what are some of the capacities that you've served in ministry at the church with him? I know that you were a youth pastor.
Toby and I were youth pastors for quite some time with them. And we've done ministry with Kim and Bruce. I can close my eyes, and this has probably been almost 25 years ago. I'm dating myself a little bit. And
well, we were only 15.
Thank you. And Kim is in the basement of the church we used to all attend together. And Karen Grace is on her hip. And that's his baby daughter. Baby. She has these big saucer-like blue eyes. Gorgeous baby. And now his baby's got two babies. So it's been a minute since we've been doing some ministry together. But Toby and I have just been absolutely blessed. And, you know, when you are in church, and there's been a time that they were serving in other capacities, so we were in other places. We never really lost connectivity or anything. But when you come from a place of a difficult time in church, where church people are not always, you know, the nicest and friendliest, and some people,
I'm shocked.
Know, some people say, I'd rather go back to the bar because those people treated me better than those people in that church treated me.
Do unfortunately hear that
yeah,
from time to time.
That's very sad. Mm-hmm. But when Toby and I, we all realigned, 06?
Yes.
It was like going to a church service. And Toby's in dirt work, so this is a better word picture for him. But, you know, you're filthy, nasty, grimy, stuff under your nails. Your hair's just gross. And you get in the shower, and you take that green bar, and you just clean up, and you come out. And that is the feeling that we had when we left church service with them again. And we have been there ever since. And we have served as youth ministers. Toby's on the board. Worship. We've been in worship except for the small stint of time when we were in North Dakota, but I would march right back, and if we were visited, I'm like, I'm going up there. But yeah, it's been incredible. I love his wife. She is one of my best friends. She is an incredible encourager and just a fabulous soundboard for a sister that needs somebody to leaven her out a little bit. You know, when I don't want my husband leavening me out.
I did hear one day the two of you were bantering about something, and I don't remember what you said, but she threatened to talk to your wife about getting granite in the bathroom. So apparently,
that's their house remodel.
The house remodel.
I'll go. Oh, I'll go shopping with my sister.
Okay, we'll get back.
We're
on
all
topic.
Hold hands and pray now.
So for the both of you, question for both of you: if there was one core issue you could remove from the world, what would it be?
I think something that plays into what he does, which is gas station ministry, which, you know, this morning I was thinking about this, and I cannot tell you how long ago this was. He can go anywhere and talk to anybody. He can talk to a fence post, to be honest. The Lord just impresses things on him wherever he is at, whether he's on the bike, whether he's in his patrol car, whether he's in his nice truck with no rust.
Thank you, Jesus.
Yes. He just has this ability, and Monica came to mind this morning for me. It's probably been 07, mm-hmm. probably. He goes, you know, wherever, if he's at a convenience store or a dollar store or whatever, and for whatever reason, there are people that we collectively as community have prayed for while he is out, whether he's in South Dakota, whether he's in California, whether, you know, wherever he's at, he meets these people along the way and brings them back to the center of the universe here in Crane. Mm-hmm. And we collectively, you know, uplift them, and we never know the outcome of their story, but we hope and believe that when we cross Jordan that we're going to meet them and know and see the fruit of what he has, you know, the seeds that he has sown. You know, we believe in that.
From my perspective, I've seen you guys do a lot of different kinds of ministry. I mean, you've had a very effective ministry that works with rehab,
yeah,
and a lot of things like that. It's sometimes a non-conventional setting.
Yes.
I think that it's been very effective. I've seen a lot of people come through and seem to be very affected by your guys' ministry.
You said one thing, and I just came off of I'm still kind of in it, but a time of really looking at Exodus when that law came down, and how it almost appears that if it had been ink, it was not ink, okay? It was in a stone. But before the ink was dry, our representatives there, the Israelites, had already gone the other way.
Mm.
And had already gone their own
way. Right,
you know.
Self-centeredness.
Exactly.
Much?
So yeah. Here's the deal. What happens is in that search for that relationship, for that father-husband loving relationship that we have, you know, I can't narrow it down to one thing, mm-hmm. other than our self-centeredness,
yeah.
our selfishness,
yeah.
that does. But what that does, it has fruit in all area of life. And in law enforcement, what I've dealt with for the last, it's almost hard to say, 40 plus years, is the fruit of the choices that people have made. And there's a lot mm-hmm. of jokes about it, you know, in the police circles about, you expect me to come here and fix something that you
right.
messed up for the last 25 years.
Right.
You know, and you call me and say, well, you know, it's now my fault because
yeah.
I can't fix
it. You handle it.
Right. You know, it's your fault. It's your responsibility, or society's responsibility. So, but, you know, Allie, I can't narrow it down to drugs, because drugs are horrible right now in Southwest Missouri mm-hmm. and Northwest Arkansas, and I'm sure everywhere, but this is what my burden is they are decimating families.
Mm-hmm.
It's decimating. It's decimating our culture. And I saw that happen in the 80s with the crack cocaine epidemic, which when I was working undercover 300 miles south of here. But the point is, for say one thing, I mean, again, the wages of sin
it's mm-hmm. death.
Is death. And, you know, as churches, as believers, what we've done is we've built a fort around there, and we don't want anybody in mm-hmm. but us. And that, the revival that's coming, the healing that's coming, is going to have to be, those gates are going to have to be opened.
Mm-hmm.
And the between the denominations, between,
yeah.
you know, have me having to be right about everything. I'm not right about everything, because I'm a human being. But what I am is I know who is right about
that's
everything,
it.
And his name's Jesus.
That's right.
The mention of choices actually takes me to the next question that I have for you, which is, you know, I know that from your point of view, you've seen a lot of wreckage
yeah.
from bad choices, but surely on the other side, you've seen repair and healing when people begin to make good choices and when, you know, a person can dedicate their life to Christ and begin to live in that way. And there's a ripple effect that can carry into their workplace and into their family.
Yeah.
I mean, do you guys want to comment on that?
I want to tell a very quick story because it was just reminded to me the other day. Because literally, when you do something as a lifestyle, and I'm not at all bragging on me. I mean, if you can mess it up, I've messed it up. Okay, I mean seriously. But the reality is the lifestyle that God's called me to is at some point. I'll be very generic, okay, because this is going to be aired. But at some point, I arrested someone on a warrant. This was a lady. This was years ago. And the other day, because of something somebody else had posted, something that was online or something, this whole story came back out and reminded me. But evidently, and I do remember the vague details of it because it's been a long time ago, but I witnessed to her. It was a traffic stop. I picked her up. She had a warrant. Said, you know, arrested her. Anybody's been arrested here, you know that process. Nobody laughed. That scares me a little bit. Okay. All right. Anyway,
I was thinking,
moving
who's he
along.
Referring to?
Moving right along. Moving right along. And by the way, a membership in our church does come with bail money.
Yes.
So anyway, just a certain amount, though. You can't overuse that.
Okay. Yeah. There's a ceiling.
There's a ceiling on that, even during a high school basketball game.
I feel attacked.
No story there.
None.
So.
Okay.
But honestly, guys, she was broken. She was addicted. She was, and I got in, and she got in, and we began to drive. The jail was 12 miles away. And during that time, you know, the Lord, the Holy Spirit, threw this water hose that he has that is not much to look at, but it just sprays where it goes. And I just told her, I said, you know, God has a plan for your life.
Yeah.
God loves you right where you're at. Right where you're at.
That's it.
And this can be better. And that seed took hold. Wow. Several years later, I was eating somewhere, which I do eat, in spite of my slim appearance. I was eating somewhere, and this little girl came up, and she said, you don't remember me, do you? And I go, if I ever say this to anybody in here, I'm sorry, but I say, oh, you look familiar. Yeah, whatever. Anyway, yeah. But she did, actually. And she said, well... And she said, you arrested me, you witnessed to me, and God's changed my life.
Amen.
And I love those stories.
Yeah.
That is awesome.
And our friend Thumper that was in that video.
I was thinking of Thumper this morning. What does he say about sin? That was what I was thinking this morning.
Self will take you places that you did not want to, that you don't want to go.
And self?
By itself.
Left by itself, yeah.
And here's the deal. Thumper has gone to be to his reward. And miss him every day. He's a great bass player, great man, and his phone number was up in our church for years for anybody who needed to get to rehab, you know, whatever.
Right.
So, but the
that's
point,
impressive.
Wonderful man. But here's the point. I mean, he was eating out of trash cans. Eating out of trash cans.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that about him.
Yeah.
And my Savior redeemed him.
Amen.
And he led, I don't know how many people to the Lord. I mean, we'll never, I guess eternity will show, but people that were eating out of people that had no hope.
Right.
And Jesus is my hope.
That's right.
Yeah.
And through him, you know, there is hope.
I mean, he would say it frequently, you know, because he lived it.
Yeah.
You know, so he knew and had compassion on those. It kind of reminds me of the Good Samaritan and how he's left, and this is theologically, it would have to be cleaned up, but I'm just saying, he's robbed, beaten, he's in a ditch, dying, and the religious people walk on by, and they don't just walk by, they go across the road to make sure that they don't get near, you know, the church members go by, all these people go by, and then this one guy comes in, but four, cleans him up. You talk about not being self-centered.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
You know, because that's dirty work to clean up somebody that's been beaten. It's in a ditch and it's dying, whether it's from addiction, whether it's from whatever. and he takes him and he puts him up and pays his board and says, I will be back. I've got business to attend to, but I'll be back. And if I owe you any more, I'll take care of the bill. That's our Savior.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
That's our Savior.
Yeah.
And being a Christian, a little Christ, a follower of Christ, mm-hmm. Him being the firstborn of many, that's also our job.
Right.
And I've taught for many years, and literally, I've gotten away with this so far. But, I mean, I will tell police officers, I say, you know, we may have to go to a place and we may have to fight somebody. You know, in fact, your sister gave me a T-shirt that said, when I turned 61, 61 is still wrestling.
True.
I wear that sometime, but not when I'm wrestling. Anyway, but the point being is we may have to go there. We may have to take physical action. We may have to take, you know, we may do what we do, put people in jail. But just remembering that literally Jesus died for those people.
Right.
He died for
them. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, you talk about answers. The answer to police having problems in society, mm-hmm. as we become servants, as we become God's representatives, and I say that
right.
wrong for a reason,
yeah.
as we represent him, as we do that, as this culture, we need to be salt and light, and yeah. as we do that, whatever your role is, whether you work, you know, at a convenience store, whether you, and by the way, I like convenience stores. They're convenient. If anybody comes in I want to talk to, I usually preach to them. Anyway.
While he's getting gizzards.
Yes, gizzards.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's only on my cheat day.
Yeah.
So we just want to be clear. If they have gizzards, that may become my cheat
exactly.
day. Exactly. Anyway, but the point being is that whether you have a television show, you're, you know, whatever kind of ministry, which everything from children to
yeah.
to senior citizens. I mean, just be that representative, be that light and salt.
Well, when I was writing the book, Unscrambling the Millennial Paradox, and this is a little off topic from, but I'll just throw this in real quick. One of the things that I wrote in toward the end of the book, when I was doing my research, I found kind of a paradox. So many churches make the claim that they want to grow.
Mm.
But then when they begin to grow, people are out of their comfort zone because this is their circle of friends. And now all these strangers have come in and are changing the social chemistry. And so it's really funny, and not in a good way, not in a ha-ha way.
Yeah.
It's really sad, actually,
yeah.
to see that so many people who actually, on one hand, really do want their church to grow. They want to see people turn to Christ. They actually right. want to share the word with the world. Until it pushes their comfort zone, and
wow.
all of a sudden they freeze
yeah.
and they reject. And so you're talking about, you know, the Christians who passed on the other side, and the
yeah.
religious leaders who passed on yeah. the other side, away from
the mess.
Yeah, the person who's been hurt and is in a ditch. It's the opposite of what we should be doing. And earlier you mentioned that there are people who say, I would rather go to a bar than go to church. Huh. That's where that comes in, especially now in the digital age, in the busy age, and also society doesn't really elevate church going as a priority the way it used to.
Oh, yeah.
If you have
right.
somebody who walks into your building, they came for a reason.
Exactly.
They're not just bored
no,
on Sunday
that's,
with
that's
nothing
a great,
to do. They need
that is
help.
A great
they're
point.
Looking for something.
That, yeah, they're
and
not
so if,
just punching their Sunday card.
Exactly.
Yeah, for
yeah.
society to be there. To, you know, I'm here at church.
Yeah. yeah, and so for that to be met with resistance
yeah.
and, you know, you're changing the chemistry. This was kind of our social circle.
Mm.
It's really sad that that's happening, but it does. And so what you have to ask yourself is, when you say, I want my church to grow, I want people to come and join our ministry, I want to see the lost
yeah.
reached for Christ, you really have to ask yourself, do you really mean that?
No, that's
really,
it.
Really, truly.
What do you mean by that? Yeah.
yeah. And a lot of people, I think they struggle when that really becomes a reality, which is
when you welcome the whosoever, you're going to get the whosoever.
Mm-hmm.
And that comes with a lot, but that's what, you know, his perspective on both ends of that coin have really helped in the ministry that we've done. You know, he calls it jacking the walls out of the church. Mm-hmm. Just keep cranking the walls out and widen it and widen it and widen it. And
unfortunately, or fortunately, whichever side of that you're on, that has kind of been my job. We have a white middle class Protestant idea of church,
right.
Christianity, mm-hmm. everything has to go through our lens.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking for a year here, 1990, because I was actually teaching full-time at the police academy, and I was pretty bored, actually, but I enjoyed the teaching part. I enjoyed the students. I enjoyed all that, but I needed to get back out there, and I was tired of talking about it. I like doing it, mm-hmm. So I like to talk about it and then do it, but anyway, the point being is that I was in a small group setting, and God began to really speak to me about this thing called religion versus this thing called a relationship.
Yeah.
Our marriage license is 40 years old, and I'm sure she knows where it's at, and that's important. Don't get me wrong, but it's probably in the blue room with everything else that I can't find. Jesus didn't call us to a religion.
Right.
He showed up in one of the most religious times there's ever been, and they didn't recognize him for who the Messiah was there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What he called us to is a relationship with him, a covenant with him, and he came to the cross and died for people, not for my ideals, not for you know, those things. And it's a package deal, and we won't get into, well, we may, because that's what this is about. But I mean, there's health. There's provision. There's all these things, but it just amazes me that people want to do that through something that their great grandma thought was a good idea versus what the Bible says.
For everybody in the audience, viewers at home, thank you so much for joining us. We'll see you next week on Return to Eden.
Hi, I'm Bree Graffio with Eden's Essentials, and I'm here today with Daniel Bell, and we're here to talk to you about our Eden Zinc today. Daniel, what would you like to tell us about Eden Zinc?
First and foremost, just talk a little bit about what zinc does. Zinc is, you know, responsible for a vast amount of enzymatic processes and different processes in the body. This can go anywhere from glandular health in your endocrine system and things of that nature, all the way to immunity. And so it really just affects a wide array of things. People generally don't get enough zinc in their diet in order to be healthy. I mean, it really is instrumental in so many just endocrine functions and immune functions.
That's great. So Daniel, can you tell me what makes our zinc formulation great?
Yeah, so zinc is a metal. And so it's generally hard to absorb, which is why it's really important to actually take it up into plants and be converted into a form a human can use well, as opposed to just being a metal in the ground. And a lot of poor supplements can be made that way, where you can just take the zinc, it can be a low form of zinc that isn't very absorbable, and then your body has to deal with that.
Sure.
And so ours is actually a very simple formula of water and zinc and a specific type of zinc. It's what's called heptahydrate. And that is one that's bonded in a way to make it highly absorbable, much more water soluble than it was originally. And so that's really what its main difference is the high absorption because of the type of zinc that's being used.
So some things that you can do that will cost next to nothing right now would be to incorporate some foods that have and contain zinc. Now, that could look something like pumpkin seeds, which are delicious. However, as Daniel was just explaining, that when we do get zinc from our diet or other places, even other supplementation, it can be super hard to absorb for the body or not as easy. So if you're looking to add more zinc to your body in a more easily absorbable way, go ahead and give us a call at 1-800-652-7168 to place your order for our Eden Zinc, or you can order online. And of course, if you have any questions, please email us at info@edensessentials.com. Thank you.